afternoon. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the GVS conference call about Haemotronic acquisition. As a reminder, all participants are in listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. Should anyone need assistance during the conference call, they may signal an operator by pressing star and zero on their telephone. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Massimo Scagliarini, CEO of GVS. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon to everybody, and welcome to this extraordinary call to present the Haemotronic acquisition. We will go through a very short presentation and then directly into the Q&A that I believe is the more important part of this conference. Let me say that I am particularly happy of this acquisition, and this because it's a company near us. I know the former owner very well from many years, and the mentality and the philosophy and the work ethics of the company is absolutely in line with our ethics. And this makes the integration, the future integration, definitely much more easy. And also because the people speak the same language and we are just half an hour away from the acquired company. So just to give you some more details, Haemotronic had been founded in 1979, so exactly the same year of GVS. The company was founded by the father of Mattia Ravizza, the actual owner, as GVS was founded by my mother, Grazia Valentini. Second market, healthcare and pharmaceutical products, principally medical component, medical device, and pharmaceutical bag for drug delivery and related activity. The group, the Haemotronic group revenue is 70 million with a 20% EBITDA and around 1,100 employees between Italy and Mexico. Okay. So these are the plants. All three plants, besides Haemotronic being founded in 1979, all three plants are brand new. And in particular, the Italian one, because they suffered the earthquake in the Modena area, and so they rebuilt completely all the plant in an incredible effort in a very short time, keeping working and not suspending the supply chain. So an incredible adventure that showed what this team is capable to do. And so the two plants of Mirandola and Borgo Carbonara are very nicely fully automatized and with the best, let me say, specs in terms of clean room and healthcare specs. Reynolds is if I'm correct, 10 years old, and so it's quite brand new also this one. Okay, now if you want to go into the number.
Yeah, in terms of number, the acquisition was closed with, will be closed with an EV about 212 million, so the price. It would be 212 million plus an earnout, a possible earnout that will be paid in 2024 and 2025, about 38 million. So the multiple that we applied was about 50 times of the adjusted EBITDA 2021. And to prevent any kind of warranties or any problem. In the deal, we have a provision about an escrow account for 25 million that will be released in the next 24 months to follow the ongoing on the clarification of the deal. The funding for the operation was closed with a finance loan underwritten by Mediobanca and UniCredit, that are the two main global coordinator and original lenders for this fund. Through then the other banks will be joining the facility in the second step. The closing for the operation, we have the provision to close in the first half of this year, and so before the end of June 2022.
Okay, the rationale. The customer are the same. Actually the same, of course, they have other customers that we don't have, and we have other customers that they don't have, but the type of customer, the final user, the profile is exactly the same, and we are not competing in the market, so we don't cannibalize each other, but we believe also in this case, two plus two will be five, because we can fully share the commercial synergies. Technology, they have a very nice technology in terms of automation, in terms of mechanical engineering, so also this is a very important asset to the group, and of course, the operation, so the fact that we can optimize, in particular, Mexico with our organization in this country. So these are the initial synergies, but they are absolutely very interesting. Okay, so here is, that was the last slide of the presentation, so I believe we are open for the Q&A.
This is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touch-tone telephone. To remove yourself from the question queue, please press star and two. Please pick up the receiver when asking questions. Anyone who has a question may press star and one at this time. The first question is from Matteo Bonizzoni of Kepler. Please go ahead.
Thank you and good afternoon. I have just two questions. The first one is regarding the management of this company. So you are buying this company from the Ravizza family, who also founded the company in 1979, we have read. Are they going to stay in place? There will be a managerial transition or more continuity? Can you provide an outlook on that? And the second point, you have highlighted cross-selling technology operational synergies potential. This company clearly starts from a level of margin which is, roughly speaking, 10 percentage points below the consolidated margin of GVS. Do you have, it's early to provide, let's say, an indication for a potential margin, let's say, in 3 years or a run rate margin after the synergies have been achieved? Thanks.
Okay. In terms of management, I believe, and also because I know him from a very long time, that Mattia Ravizza is an excellent manager, and so I want him to stay inside the group, and he's absolutely in agreement. The main reason why he decided to sell the company is because he was alone, and the size of the company was too big for himself, and he needed support. And that's why he came to us, because we know each other for a long time, and you know, he knows that we can give him the boost to his company and his organization. For what regards the marginality, yes, there are some area that definitely it's will be improved in terms of marginality, more in the Mexican area than not in the European area, where they are very excellent in what they do. But definitely we are expecting a return also in marginality.
Okay, thank you.
The next question is from Gianluca Pediconi of Momentum. Please go ahead.
Ciao Massimo, good afternoon to everybody. First off, my congratulations, because that is a very brave, I would say, bold and forward-looking deal, irrespective of the very difficult times we are living. So compliments as for the vision, which is really appreciated, at least by myself. I have a couple of questions. The first one is, I would rephrase what Matteo has just asked. The 15 times EBITDA that you mentioned in the press release, in 3 year times, could be closer to 10, if you can elaborate on this. And the second one, the second question is, you mentioned a long-lasting relationship with the family, but at the same time that you have already collaborated on joint strategic client project, but there is also opportunity for commercial synergies. I'm wondering where these commercial synergies are coming from, if you have already very strong relationship in the past. And if I may, the very last one, what is the percentage of Hematronic coming from disposable device as far as revenues are concerned? Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Gianluca. So just to recap the question.
Scusa? Se aspetti che in 3 anni può scendere il multiplo a 10.
Okay, so the multiple in 3 year, yes, absolutely, it will decrease. The vision that we have already today for the next few years is an important growth, not only in terms of marginality, but also in terms of revenue for the Hematronic itself, and this based on the contract that we have seen during the due diligence. So the expectation is definitely to reduce this multiple quickly. And if it will be 10 or 11, I will let you know in the next call. Okay, so just to clarify, yeah, I have a very long relationship with Mattia, but always professional. We know each other, the family, and we respect it, but it's a professional type of relation. Let me say it's not personal. But what is important is, okay, disposable, 100% of what they do is disposable. Even the pharmaceutical bag are disposable, all the components are disposable, and the medical devices are disposable. So they are truly a pure medtech that works on disposable area. The key point is that the customer that buy our filter, they need all the components that Hematronic produces. And the customer of Hematronic that buy all the components from them need the filter that we produce, because both are integrated, are then what is needed to realize a medical device. So let me say, if we have been validated and approved, and let me just say Baxter, one name, there can be any other, but and Hematronic is not, Then we will bring all the medical component into Baxter through our certification as a supplier. And the same thing will happen on the other direction. So definitely I see this as an easy integration.
So I mean, despite this long-lasting professional relationship, you still see the opportunity to increase, let's say, the share of wallet at the commercial synergies? Because that was all my only concern reading the press release, that you are already working together, you have been known each other as a company for a long time. How is possible to extract even more commercial synergies? But there is still a cross-selling opportunities, I understand.
Well, consider that until yesterday we were two separate companies, so they didn't want to share their customer with us, and we didn't want to share our customer with
them. I understand.
So we worked together in a project, but in very special occasion. So we still have all the market open to really develop this synergy.
Thank you very much, and congratulations again. Thank you.
The next question will be from Will Turner of Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Hi, Massimo. Hi Mario. A couple of questions for me. The first one, could you please go into more detail on the history of the company? For example, what was the historic growth rates? And what was the toughest year when you were looking back at its financials historically? And has it had to take on much external capital in the past, or has the company been growing organically for quite a long time?
In terms of capital, the company never accessed to external to proceed. It was all,
It's a cash positive company, and without need to fund anything in terms of a normal process of growth in the last year. In the past, the company grew with a normal rate of growth in Italy, so 5-6% in the average. In the last 3 years, this growth will increase up to 15%. Had increased to 50% of CAGR. And this, with the internationalization and the opening and the start of a new project in Mexico, is affecting a little bit now the profitability of the company. But this is the point where we know that we can bring the best experience and synergies in this kind of deal.
Okay, so that was historically it's grown around 5%, but in the last 3 years that's accelerated due to its expansion in Mexico and North America. Was there anything else driving that recent kind of growth that may have been temporary the last 3 years?
No, the real step, they made the real step when they decided to go international. And then the big customers started to look at them in a different way. Compared from the typical Italian company. And the point is that they went international and then they become more complex. And this is what affected Mattia in his management.
Okay, great. And then just a final question. I noticed when you're referring to the 15 times EBITDA multiple, you're referring to adjusted EBITDA. What is the adjustment for? Is that a meaningful adjustment?
Adjustment was related to leasing, so to align the P&L to the principle that we use in GBS in terms of accounting, and then the elimination of all the positive or negative value that will not be present in the P&L in the future. All the extraordinary costs or values, positive values.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Great. Thank you.
Welcome.
The next question is from Alessandro Tortora of Mediobanca. Please go ahead.
Okay. Good afternoon to everybody. I have a brief list of questions, if I may. The first one, let's say, if you can give us an idea, you mentioned, let's say, the turnover reported by the company last year. Can you give us an idea of, for instance, the net profit at the end that the company got, just to understand how we go, let's say, through the P&L from the EBITDA to the net profit? And also in terms of, let's say, capital intensity, let's say, if you can share with us any, let's say, indication on working capital on sales for the business you acquired. This is the first question. I don't know if you want one by one, if you prefer.
Yeah, maybe one it's better. So net profit and working capital to resume. Correct?
Yes, yes.
In terms of net working capital, they have a trend that is quite compared with the GBS. So normally it's about 25%-26%, but in the last year, they increased the value up to 30%-31% of turnover. And this is more or less for the same reason of GBS, to be prudent for raw material, supply chain management, and so on. While in terms of net profit, in this moment, I'm not remembering the number that we expect because in reality, they have not still closed the balance sheet, the official balance sheet of 2001. So I have not the number in mind, but the tax rate is about 25%-26% also for them.
Okay. Okay. Then the second question was on the synergies, let's say, the synergies you mentioned before. Is it possible at a certain point that the company could decide, I don't know, to, let's say, optimize or to reduce the number of plants? You mentioned before Mexico. Mexico should be a new one, if understood well. So in order, let's say, to maximize the production capacity, you can take any decision on the operation side?
Absolutely. We have a very important program for all the U.S. and Mexican markets in terms of reorganization and optimization of all the manufacturing sites.
And just if I may, I rephrase this point. Considering, I remember that GVS is a company having profitability by plant. If you look at Hemotronic, for instance, the Mexican plant is running, for instance, below the 20% average you mentioned before for the Hemotronic group?
Yes, absolutely yes, because consider that they have a trend more or less from the Italian part of the story, about 24%-25%. So actually, Mexico is.
Is why it's taking down the marginality. And so this is why we consider that unifying our strength in Mexico will definitely help review all this.
Okay. Okay. Thanks a lot on this. Then this is a question I have to make. If I look at, let's say, the sales on Hemotronic in the past 2 years, are there any COVID-related sales we should be aware of?
No, they have been affected, let me say, negatively, not positively.
Okay. Okay. And then the last question is on the sales mix. Can you give us an idea of, let's say, the sales mix by, let's say, the major region where they operate, and also by products, considering the three family, the three product family they have? If you can give us a sort of mix among, let's say, the three business lines. Thanks.
The geographical mix is very similar to our geographical mix: U.S., Europe, and definitely minor in Asia and North Africa. For what regards the mix of the three line, I don't have the exact number here, but I would say that medical component is the first one, then the pharmaceutical bag is the second one, and the third one, the minor one, is related to medical device.
Okay, so sorry, the component is the most important one?
It is, yes. Even if the pharmaceutical bags are growing very fast and with a very nice marginality, so we are expecting a potential change in the future.
Okay, okay. And the last question is only, let's say, taking as a reference the 15% sales CAGR you mentioned before. Considering everything we discussed in this conference call, if you, let's say, have to, let's say, give a rough indication of a sustainable, let's say, growth for this company inside the GPS Galaxy, should we think about, I don't know, a high single digit, or you believe this is a company that can keep growing double digit going forward?
It's a very good question. Let me say that first I want to see clearly all the reorganization, the integration of the two companies. I want to have the possibility to speak with the major principal customer, and then I will give you a more solid answer on this.
Okay, okay. Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot.
To add, in terms of percentage, the 50% of the turnover is component, and 34% is related to the back, and then rest is disposable.
Massimo, sorry, I lost the last percentage on 34, you mean 50% components, then?
54 for back.
Okay. 34.
Okay, 34, and then the last one. Perfect. Thank you. Thank you.
The next question is a follow-up from Matteo Bonizzoni of Kepler. Please go ahead.
Yeah, just a quick follow-up question. Maybe it has been asked because I'm sorry, I was in another call in the meantime. It's on your M&A pipeline at this point. So with this acquisition, I roughly calculated that you are going to approach three times that EBITDA ratio. Can you just remind your covenants? I think they are slightly above that. And can we assume that the priority is now maybe to integrate the last three acquisitions which you have announced very quickly in the last few months? Or can you remain acquisitive maybe with smaller sized targets?
So the first is about covenant.
Okay. True, the level of leverage is increasing, but it's been under the covenant that we have in the, with all our contracts and bonds in the contract, so are under control. And this was...
That was the first question, and then second question, if I correctly understand, is how is our pipeline is still active, but now we want to digest this. We want to be solid, and then when this will be done, we will move on with the next target.
Okay, thank you.
As a reminder, if you wish to register for a question, please press star and one on your telephone. For any further questions, please press star and one on your telephone. The next question is from Laurent Millet of Artemis. Please go ahead.
Hi, Massimo, and congratulations for the acquisition. I wondered what kind of interest rate you got on that kind of five-year loan from Mediobanca and UniCredit?
Yeah, interest rate.
The interest rate is based on margin ratio. So it's a margin ratio that depends on the level of the leverage. So you have a range that can be, the lower is 100 basis points on Euribor non-floor as a lower rate, up to 170 basis points as a higher low. That is the level of the starting point, because we start with a higher leverage in terms of...
It's 100 to 170 basis points over what, sorry? I didn't...
107 as a spread on the Euribor without floor.
Okay.
So, no floor.
Okay.
This is
and...
higher. The lower is 100... 100 basis points. That's
okay.
The same.
And help me understand the kind of multiple you pay. When I look at Hemotronic, I see a company with kind of 10 percentage point kind of lower margin, growth which has been higher than kind of GVS in the very short term, i.e. last year, but before that, probably similar. And still you pay basically, I call it a 20% premium to your own valuation multiple. How does the kind of value creation work for shareholders?
No, can you repeat the question? I'm not sure.
Yeah, sure. You're buying a company which is less profitable than GVS.
Yes.
Is not growing meaningfully kind of faster than GVF, I mean, on trend, and still you're paying, call it a 10 to 20% premium for that company. How does that work in terms of value creation?
Well, okay, the company in the last 3 years has definitely grown 15% a year. So let me say the historical trend, it's different, and I explained that it's different because they were not international. They had basically no sales team. And so when they moved, the company really started to flourish. So it's true that I didn't compromise myself with a double-digit growth for the next few years, because I first want to understand and meet the customer and see exactly the full potential. The value, as I explained before, is that basically we can start tomorrow to sell to all our nearly 4,000 customers the Hemotronic products, and we can start selling these through all our brands, through all our affiliates, and before this was not possible, because buying a disposable component and reselling a disposable component brings a limit in terms of marginality, and as you know, we don't do deal where we don't have marginality.
Mm.
Now, being part of the group, we will sell at full marginality this product worldwide. So this, I believe, is the real value that Hemotronic can bring to us.
Okay, thank you very much. And last question from me. The owner of Hemotronic, he didn't want to have any shares of GVS. It's cash. Why? If he wants to stay in the company and if...
He wanted the share. He didn't want to sell in the share because the share was super depressed. And so it was not my intention to sell share at this price. So super undervaluated. But yeah, he won the share, but he will buy in the market.
Okay. But is he going to see what I mean? If you do a deal on shares, in the end, it, from the outside, it's the same whether he gets cash and he buys shares with that cash or he gets shares.
This deal is in cash. This deal is in cash, and if Mr. Avita wants to purchase a GVS share, he will need to go to the market to purchase the share. I am not close to do deal with share. I just don't want to do deal with share now with the share so low. So I am expecting the share to rise to a more reasonable value than there is the potential to do also paper for certain acquisition.
Okay, understood. Thank you very much.
Gentlemen, there are no more questions registered at this time.
Okay, thank you to everybody for the participation. Thank you very much. Have a nice weekend. Bye-bye.